So I'm going to read this to you. Where somebody said, he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, quote unquote. Who said it? Who did he say it about? You ready to find out? Here is Zach Jackson on Zach Gelb's show about Dylan Gabriel.
But I mean, Dylan Gabriel does not look like an NFL quarterback to me, like 0%. So I don't know what's going to happen.
So why do they love Gabriel so much?
Well, they fell in love with the intangibles, right? But they have an analytic charting project that they have followed in the past, and they lucked. And so they were more than willing to admit, like, yes, you saw us in Mississippi at Jackson Dart's thing. Yes, we've done the thing. But they kind of snuck in a trip to Oregon on their way to the highly publicized pro day at Colorado. And Gabriel was, you know, fairly impressive at the Senior Bowl. Andrew Berry and Stefanski were there on the sideline watching every throw. He just flew under the radar. And then I just don't think any other team was taking him in the top 100 or probably the top 150. If I'm wrong and the Cleveland Browns have their quarterback, that'd be great. One of these years, I would love to cover a normal franchise and a rookie quarterback that sticks around for more than 6 to 18 months. But if it's Dylan Gabriel, I will be beyond shocked.
So that's Zach talking about Dylan Gabriel. We're used to fighting this off about Shedeur Sanders here over these last couple of weeks. I mean, that's right at Dylan Gabriel right there. Now, I think a lot of people look at Dylan Gabriel like he's the guy who was picked in the fifth round. I mean, he is a third round pick. He's a top 100 pick.
That is the way he's talked about.
And so when we talk about Dylan, like I look at him and I go, okay, that's a guy, he's an adult. The far as the not looking like an NFL quarterback, I've seen a lot of Browns rookies and a lot of Browns, even guys who they picked up off the scrap heap, go out there, and I'm like, man, this guy does not look like he has it whatsoever. I was only there for a day. I only saw the rookie stuff. I did not get there last week. I did not think anything bad about Dylan Gabriel. But you know what? To Zach's credit, Zach's been watching these guys a hell of a lot longer than I have, and he's talked to a hell of a lot more scouts than I have. So this is based on personal opinion. So you know, there's part of me that wants to go questioning Zach going, geez Louise, my God. But then I feel like I'm just doing what everybody else would do, where I'm feeling like I'm defending a guy like he is the fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick. He's the third round choice, Anthony. So when he says this, I don't think it's an indictment. And again, listening to what Zach says, it's not as much an indictment on Dylan Gabriel as it is on the franchise that chose him in the third round, for crying out
loud. It struck me the way you just casually mentioned that. You're right. Every conversation.
Because I want to defend him. Why? And I think there's reasons because of that.
Well,
but go
because
ahead.
Because it did seem at the time like an overreach. Like the thought was that, you know, he was going to be available, you know, well past where he was taken. But in the same vein, we have said, like, if you really like a guy at quarterback, that's where... Now, normally, we're talking about in the first round when you really like a quarterback. We don't really talk about it in those terms in the third round. But obviously, the Browns knew because of those physical limitations, just because he's short. I mean, literally because he's short. I shouldn't say physical. He can throw the ball just fine, right?
He throws the ball very, very hard.
So when I say limitations, I should be careful because it really is just that he is really short.
Not tall.
And obviously, he gets one pass batted down. And that is the highlight that gets run, you know, in what, 7-on-7s, and he's getting a pass.
He got the pass batted down, and then some people brought it to my attention. I said, well, guys, Brandon Whedon is like 6'5", and Brandon Whedon got passes batted down.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, don't act like it's the same. Well, you know, if you can't throw it through the windows, you can't throw it through the windows. But yeah, one guy is not very tall, so it's going to be a little bit harder on that guy to do so.
It is tough when we talk about this quarterback situation, and I'll admit, like, Nathan Zagura kind of stopped us in our tracks on Friday, where we were just having a conversation. Me and you were just so flippant about, well, yeah, Joe Flacco is going to give him the best chance. When he's like, what? He's like, why? Do you guys realize that, you know, Kenny Pickett's done A, B, and C, and me and you have not given him any credit whatsoever, Kenny Pickett. So,
no.
You know, part of the problem is through all these conversations about the QBs, I've written off Kenny Pickett and I've written off Dylan Gabriel. I've written off two of the guys, and then I'm assuming Joe Flacco is going to get traded. So... At some point, you know, I'm expecting Shedeur Sanders to get, you know, a lot more work in. So it was a little bit of a surprise last week when he was the fourth guy. He was the fourth guy getting reps. So maybe I'm just playing these own tricks on myself where I've got to stop going with the preordained route of here's my book on every one of these guys, because it's a competition right now. And anything could happen in this competition.
I don't think Zach says these things to be mean just in general. I don't think he does it. I think that it's his opinion, and I don't think that I think he's a lot like you, where you guys don't have the very best bedside manner, and you guys don't sugarcoat it, and you don't pussyfoot around anything. I tend to pussyfoot around when it comes to this stuff, because I'll tell you what, if you go back for the last 5 years, you know, Mitch had asked us, he goes, could this be the biggest waste of a draft pick the Browns have ever had under this regime? And I said, I don't know if you could say that, considering who the guys that they've taken, because, you know, we looked at mid to late wide receivers, and there was like Donovan Peoples-Jones who stuck out. We focused on wide receivers, Anthony Schwartz, David Bell. If you look to some of the mid rounds, third, fourth round guys, there are some misses. There are some serious misses in there. I mean, Tommy Togiai, nice enough guy, never materialized out of the fourth round. Perry and Winfrey, Cade York, obviously we know about them. David Bell, I hate to say it, obviously we know about him. Martin Emerson's been nice. That's about as high as it gets. Alex Wright had a chance last year, got hurt. We'll see what Alex Wright has this year. After that, Siaki Ika didn't make the team last year. DeJuan Jones has been very nice. Isaiah McGuire, so far, we'll see if he's able to develop there. So it hasn't even really been a mixed bag of guys. Like, there have been some non-starters, non-issues, non-entities in the third and fourth round that Andrew Berry has taken here over the last 5-6 years now. So for a guy like Dillon Gabriel, it's a quarterback where, yeah, I know a lot of us were surprised, and I hear him talk, and I know that he's an adult, and I know he'll be able to conduct himself, and I do believe that if he were 6'3 and had the same type of physical talents, yeah, certainly he'd be a first-round guy. So that makes you feel a little bit more positive, but damn it, like, I'm in a season where I'm trying to figure something out, but this is where you get held to it. If it does, I can't say that I've said that this season, house money, because I got the 2 first-round picks. But this is where you can fight me on it all season long if you want to. I'll give people the argument against me. You took a quarterback in the third round who is diminutive in size, who people think you could have got later, whatever. Okay, you took quarterback. You take wide receivers, you take safeties, you take a lot of other positions. They can get on the field. Only one quarterback can play at a time. So you took this guy, and say this season goes belly up with, boy, Pro Football Focus doesn't think that we're going to do very well. More on that coming up here in a bit. Say this season goes belly up. Now I'm restarting with new head coach, new GM. I think that this would be it. If you finished in the same ballpark of wins, this is probably it for those guys. I start anew, and people go, great, I get freshness. But you don't have a guy that you can even develop there in the third round, because he's part of a 4-man rotation now that he may very well just be done by next year. So that's where I think that some people's consternation is coming into this, where you take a guy like Dillon Gabriel, it feels like a flyer. He's a third round pick. So now you've put me in this position where I need to keep around a third round pick. And then next year, you could be going, my God, we don't even have a guy that we can develop at wide receiver, safety, or lineman, or anywhere, defensive line, right in the third round, because I took this quarterback. This quarterback played this last year. I hope he shows something, but say he probably doesn't if it's a Browns quarterback. Then I got to go into next year. I go, I didn't even get a guy that I could develop from the previous regime. So that's where it hurts you, because you're not necessarily looking for starters in the third round like you would certainly in the first and then usually the second. I'm looking for a guy who I know I can develop into a starter. Well, they better believe that in Dillon Gabriel, because right now, I mean, you're in uncharted waters. And I think to a lot of fans, it sucks. I want to give the guy a chance. I like him. But I think to a lot of fans, and certainly to Zach, it's like the smartest man in the room syndrome all over again. We'll take the guy who's 5'10". We'll take the guy who's got a rocket of an arm. Guys, he throws it as hard as I've ever seen any quarterback throw in 13 years in a Cleveland Browns jersey. He throws it harder than all of them. But it's a very fast track for a guy who's on a team that has an also-ran quarterback, a journeyman quarterback in front of him, and then you have a guy who's a third-round pick. Like, at some point, that guy's going to probably play. And is he going to be ready to play? Mentally, he might be. Physically, will he be able to do it? I'm not sure. Well, I have no idea.
I've been wondering all along, just from the moment they had the two quarterbacks that they drafted, like, does Dillon Gabriel have the leg up just because he was drafted ahead of Shador? Obviously, the way they're talking, that has not been the case at all. They're talking about competition and, you know, divvying up the reps as best they can. They're running two different football fields at this point, because they got to get so many guys. They're signing They're signing players off MAC teams that are just local because they need all these guys.
Bodies to catch passes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's so interesting about this. Did that go out the window the day after the draft? That, well, one was drafted in the third round, one was drafted in the fifth round. Is that something that they're not allowing?
I wanted to say it that way, and I wish it would be. But I think in so many ways that if you were going to do it right now, it would be him who gets that opportunity. Then it would be Shador who gets somewhat of an opportunity later on if he gets that opportunity, which I think to a lot of fans is probably bass backwards of what it should be already. Because you have a guy who fell. You have a guy who you took probably higher than a lot of people thought you were going to take him, and you had a guy who fell to you in the fifth round. It's cross of what it should be. And if it were realistic, you're probably putting, let's call it, you're putting Shador before you're putting Dylan Gabriel. But are you going to be able to get over that? Because I can take away the rounds. You still wanted Dylan Gabriel before. You still wanted him before him. And you still wanted him a day before you took Shador Sanders. You know, that's a big thing for a lot of people within that organization. You still took him before you took the other guy. And you still took the other guy in day three. You took this guy in night two. There is a tremendous difference because now you got to get it. If Shador goes out there and he plays well in whatever reps that he gets, you have to be able to pass up whatever you have with your throwing to, which is probably not going to be much because you're probably going to give the other. I know that they're trying to divvy out the reps as fair as they can. It's going to be hard. And there's going to be someone left behind, and it's probably going to be the fifth round guy. The second thing is you're battling ego because there's a belief when you take a guy in the third round who's got that size. You're telling everybody you believe and you know. Well, all of a sudden, you're going to take the guy who, according to whatever the Giants want to say, was a problem within the meetings, and you're going to put him ahead of him? Like, you have to balance that. You're fighting ego. You're fighting the perception away the way people see. Because if you do, that's a bold move. And I'd be, hey, you get over it. I'm proud of you for doing that. That means you got over your own ego. But you know, if I say something like that, 50% of the audience is still going to sit there and go, yeah, this is typical Brownsian stuff. They're going to take the guy who sold a bunch of jerseys. He's going to go out there and he's going to embarrass himself. So you need to get over those things.